Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland, so welcome to my stream. Look at this t-shirt, I think you've not seen this one before. Was the terrible news in the United Kingdom, it was from quite a long time ago, it was from, as far back as 2015, that a nurse, Lucy Letby, started murdering her patients, little children. So a serial killer. I mean, the good news is that she's being convicted now, so she'll never strike again, will presumably die behind bars. Now, obviously, murder is monstrous anyway, but it's particularly galling when a medical professional should do this to her patients, when her whole duty is to keep them alive, and she's been doing the absolute opposite. And the thing is, I know maybe I sound rather facile, but you really wouldn't expect it to look at her, you know, so angelic looking. Obviously, I was told as a child not to judge a book by its cover. I really took that to heart, which is why I'm quite indifferent to aesthetics. So what she was doing between June 2015 and 2016 was to inject them with air, to force feed them milk, poison to babies with insulin, and so on. So she didn't go into the dock when the verdicts were read out. So but it came to light so many years afterwards. So there were lots of hearings. Some of the jurors were discharged, and they deliberated for 76 hours, which is an astonishingly long time. I mean, the law at the bar says that in a murder trial, if the jury comes back within an hour, it's going to be a guilty verdict. If they take more than an hour, it's probably going to be a not guilty verdict. But if it's over something like 10 hours, it makes it more likely it's guilty again. Obviously, they're not allowed to reveal what is said in the jury room for life. That's got to be secret. They can tell the media in general terms what the experience of being a juror is like, but not who said what, who voted this way, that way. Remember, they've got to at least have a 10 out of 12 majority for a guilty verdict. There's obviously going to be no retrial. I suppose you can try to appeal. But she's arrested in October 2022. So she did this obviously with malice aforethought. This was no manslaughter. This was no mistake. And she somehow got away with these murders. And one thing is that nobody suspected a thing for quite a long time. It was 6 years after the last murder that she did this. Another surprising thing, I know it's a good thing, is she didn't go on doing it. Did it for about a year, but she'd never ever do it, not even once, but then stopped. But you think if she's that much of a psychopath, would she continue? I'd rather she didn't murder any children. I mean, six is too many already, but you know, I'm pleasantly surprised it wasn't even more. So it's horrific, and obviously that is anguish that the parents will never get over. So before she came onto that neonatal unit, there were very few baby deaths in the unit, under three a year. But Cheshire Police, because she's working in Cheshire, that county in North West England, they noticed a spike in these deaths, and then the near-fatal incidents with premature babies. So she's looking after preemies. They were obviously particularly vulnerable. And the trial went on for 10 months, probably the longest trial in British history. There were more murders that she was accused of, but the jury failed to reach a verdict on those ones. So one of the jurors had been discharged. There were four men and seven women on the case heard at Manchester Crown Court. That's a criminal court that cases go to when it's going to attract a sentence of over 2 years. And has she been sentenced? Surely it's going to be life imprisonment without possibility of parole. Justice has been done. My goodness. And she was foolish enough to write a note saying, "I'm evil and I did this," about one of these murders. But, you know, she was suspected of up to 13 murders, but I think convicted of only six girls and boys. And then one of the children whom she very badly harmed survived. He's now 7 years old. He's caused him neurological problems and things like that. Okay, so will it provide some sort of closure for the parents? Well, perhaps. So police detectives, they look into over 4,000 incidents where babies were admitted to that hospital where she was working as a neonatal nurse to see, if they died, was she involved in the death? Were they harmed? Did she somehow injure them? Did she attempt to murder them? You know, she's obviously trying to make it not too obvious. She was working at the Countess of Chester Hospital, and then she did two placements at Liverpool Women's Hospital. There were some babies in Liverpool Women's Hospital as well. In Liverpool Women's Hospital, she doesn't appear to have killed any children or indeed attempted to do so. So yeah, so various pediatricians have come into this. The baby's been identified as baby A, baby B, baby C, baby D, baby E, baby F, baby G, baby I, and so on. And then, so a lot of the murders or attempted murders were summer of 2015. Then there were several months where she didn't attempt it at all, it seems, and then began again in April 2016. What an odd a pattern of offending. So staggering. What would the motive be? There's obviously no financial gain. Some sort of a thrill for it? Is it she just detested the human race? People get the idea of playing God, the power, sheer sadism. But what would happen to the empathy? Well, this is what's psychopathic about it. The conscienceless. People normally have a conscience and their inner voice. I don't like to hurt innocent people. I like to see people happy, dislike suffering. I mean, I could never be a doctor or nurse because I just don't like to see suffering, full stop. But you presumably want to heal. You want to relieve pain. And obviously when someone gets killed, what gets me is not so much the person himself or herself. That person is dead. He or she can't suffer any longer. It's the grieving relatives. It's the people wailing by the graveside. That's what I find very, very difficult to cope with. So anyway, I don't support the death penalty. Many people would say, well, she would deserve it. So they go on through 32,000 pages of evidence. The detectives had to interview over 2,000 witnesses. They identified even more witnesses whom they didn't interview in the end. Well, there's going to be a review of systems. How on earth could this have happened? Nobody should ever murder his or her patient or harm them, injure them in any way. And if that ever does happen, it's got to be found out straight away. So it can't happen again. This person obviously got to be vigorously prosecuted. Anyway, a successful prosecution. She pleaded not guilty, but she was found guilty. Had she pleaded guilty, her sentence would scarcely have been reduced. Will she ever be safe to release the public? I very much doubt it, but it was just staggering, the person you'd least suspect. Now, I've had doctors who are serial killers in the United Kingdom. There was a notorious John Bodkin Adams practicing in Eastbourne, Sussex in the 1950s. Rumoured to be the wealthiest general practitioner in the United Kingdom, always moaning about how much super tax he paid. And stories of his murders were read with a keen eye by a 12-year-old Yorkshire schoolboy named Harold Shipman. Harold Shipman later became a doctor himself and was a serial killer in Lancashire in the late 1990s before being convicted of various murders. Now, John Bodkin Adams was actually acquitted of the only case he was charged with. And astonishingly, despite breaches of the Controlled Drugs Act, he was given his license back and carried on to practice until his death in the early 1980s. Admittedly, he had hardly any patients because people widely thought he got away with that one. It was an establishment cover-up. One of his patients was the Duke of Devonshire, who was the brother-in-law of the then Prime Minister, Harold Macmillan. The British Medical Association didn't want to be left with egg on its face, thought that he could be executed for prescribing medicine, which was heroin, although he'd given people sometimes 12 times the maximum legal dose to kill them. And the other thing that I thought is very noticeable about this case is, had these babies been slightly younger, weeks younger, maybe days younger, she wouldn't have been prosecuted at all. She would have been paid and rewarded and promoted and commended. It was just because they were outside the womb that they were not fair game. But if they're inside of the womb, especially they're somewhat disabled, she could have killed them with impunity. It's staggering. People make a career out of that and are so sanctimonious. And they have the nerve to call it healthcare. But healthcare is about sustaining a heartbeat, not stopping it. Healthcare is about preventing people bleeding. It's not about making them bleed to death. And exsanguination is how children are killed by the NHS all the time. Now, the NHS does magnificent work, and I use it a lot myself, and most doctors and nurses, dentists, and so on, they're marvelous, but it really does stagger me. But people will be aghast by this case, as I am, and yet support the murder of innocent children. And then pretend it's about healthcare when it's anything but healthcare, and think it's extreme to oppose genocide. Anyway, there we go. It's a conundrum. I don't get it myself. People who demand child protection and in the next breath say, yeah, but the open season on children is absolutely okay. We can kill them so long as they're in utero because they're not human or they're not alive, or some flagrant lie like that. Won't face up to the hideous reality of what's happening on our time, on our dime, taxpayer funded. Okay, goodbye then.